Good morning, my Walking with Jesus friends. When life slows down enough and you have time to sit with a friend, perhaps looking out over a lake or the ocean or some quiet place, what do you talk about? Do you have a friend or two with whom you can talk about the really important things of life, those things down deep in your soul that really matter to you? And may I ask, with whom do you talk about the things that will be important to you 100 years from now? When the story of your earthly life has all been written, what will be important to you then? I'm so glad and humbled that you and thousands of people around the world are willing to spend 10 minutes or so with Jesus and me each day, reflecting on the really important things of life. Today, join me in Acts chapter 9, verse 43, where it says, Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. All we know about this man is that he's a tanner, he lives in Joppa, and was willing to have Peter the Apostle stay with him for a while. I can imagine they were learning a great deal from each other. Peter likely told Simon about the fishing business and living in a shoreline town on the Sea of Galilee, and of course, what it was like to walk with Jesus for those many months. Simon likely told Peter about the tanning business and what it was like living on the shoreline of the Mediterranean Sea in Joppa. Perhaps they strolled on the beach in the evenings and talked about life. I suspect they talked about some amazing history that had happened in that place, that very town of Joppa, over the centuries. It was from Joppa that a man named Jonah got on a ship going to Tarshish to run away from God and God's assignment for him. Do you remember that story? It happened about 760 BC. God had told Jonah to go to Nineveh, the capital city of the powerful and wicked Assyrian Empire, and tell the people about the God of the Hebrews. Instead, Jonah ran the other way. He came to Joppa, boarded a ship heading the opposite direction away from Nineveh. Have you ever done that? Have you ever said no to God and refused to participate with him in whatever he was inviting you into? For Jonah, that was a disaster, and you may recall he ended up inside the belly of a large fish for 3 days. The story is in the Old Testament book which bears his name, Jonah. Now, do you remember that great fish spit Jonah out, and Jonah washed ashore, cleaned himself up, and then was again approached by God, urging him to go to Nineveh. This time, Jonah agreed. He went to Nineveh and spoke of God. Amazingly, that wicked city, led by its king, responded to Jonah's message, repented, and God spared them from terrible judgment. It's a most amazing story. The other event for which Joppa was somewhat famous occurred in the time of King Solomon. That would have been around 970 BC. God had given Solomon the assignment of building the great temple in Jerusalem. The design called for massive timbers of cedar, but the only place they could be found was north in Lebanon. So God moved in the king of Lebanon's heart, and a huge amount of cedar timber was cut in Lebanon, floated down the Mediterranean Sea bundled in large rafts, and then hauled inland to Jerusalem, where they became an important part of the great temple. That story is found in 1 Kings chapter 5. For centuries, as the Jewish people worshipped at their magnificent temple, they knew its beauty was in part due to the help of a non-Jewish king and workman who shared their amazing cedar trees with Israel. Perhaps as Peter and Simon discussed such things, they began to consider that God cared deeply for all people in all places, both Jews and Gentiles, slave and free, nearby and far away. While they didn't know it, I believe God was preparing both of them, but especially Peter, for one of the most significant, mind-stretching events of all time. Messengers from a Roman centurion showed up at Simon the Tanner's house one day, asking for Peter. Dr. Luke, the author of the book of Acts, gives us this remarkable account in Acts chapter 10. The Italian regiment was among the most prestigious in the Roman Empire military, and in Caesarea, where they were stationed, one of their officers was named Cornelius. He had authority over at least 100 soldiers. Luke writes, Cornelius and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need, and he prayed to God regularly. Acts chapter 10, verse 1 and 2. It sounds like Cornelius was a successful military man, highly respected both for his military leadership and his character. Also, sounds like everyone knew Cornelius to be a God-fearing spiritual man. Now think about that for a moment. How many successful leaders in the military or business or politics or education or healthcare do you know who have balanced well the demands of leadership and sustained a vibrant, authentic spiritual maturity? What would be some of the traits or characteristics of their lives which demand your respect? Cornelius had a vision in which Luke reports, an angel of God came to Cornelius and said, Cornelius, your prayers and your gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now, send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon Peter. He's staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea. Acts 10:3-6. I love it when the Bible shows us what's going on at a particular moment from several different vantage points or in the lives of several people simultaneously. I don't know if Cornelius was accustomed to having daytime visitations from angels, but clearly, being a military man and understanding the importance of following orders from a superior officer immediately and in detail, Cornelius did what he was told by the angel. I presume Cornelius understood the angel was an angel who had come from God with specific instructions for Cornelius. Let me ask you, do you think God sometimes has specific instructions for you? Does God want to involve you in what He is doing in our world? So let me ask, how does God get your attention, my friends? How does God communicate with you what He wants you to do in order for you to participate with Him, the God of the universe, in what He is doing? Now, you might need to re-read or re-listen to that question. Without debate or delay, Luke says, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. I assume it took Cornelius only a matter of minutes to think through all the men under his command, the servants in his household, and even members of his own family. Who could Cornelius trust with this mission? There would be no room for argument or excuses or delay or distraction. The mission was clear, and it seemed urgent. Go to Joppa. Find and bring back a man named Simon Peter, who is staying with a tanner named Simon, who lives by the sea. Caesarea to Joppa would be a walk of about 30 or 35 miles, depending on the road. Luke tells us about noon the following day, as they were approaching Joppa, Peter went up on the roof of the house where he was staying to pray. Acts 10:9. That tells me those whom Cornelius sent covered those 30 or 35 miles in less than 24 hours from the time of the angel's visit. Now that's obedient, fast action. Do you agree? I presume their trip was on foot. No taxi, no bus, no car, probably not even a horse or a mule. As they walked along, what do you suppose those three men talked about? We know they deeply respected Cornelius. I presume they respected Cornelius both because of his professional position and his devout relationship with God. It's safe for us to assume Cornelius was a Gentile Roman citizen. Perhaps the soldier and the other two attendants were also Gentiles. They had never met Simon Peter and probably knew nothing about him. But oh my, their lives were about to change. For Simon Peter, I note he's going up on his roof at midday to pray. That tells me that while Peter is growing in his relationship with Jesus through the working of the Holy Spirit in his life, he still had many of the deep traditions of being a good Jewish man, including midday prayers. Perhaps Simon, the tanner, was going to stop his tanner work at midday and join Peter on the roof. I assume Peter was going into midday prayers as he often did, praying, thanking God for His majesty and His greatness, thanking Jesus for His salvation work on the cross and His resurrection, thanking the Holy Spirit for His ongoing work in Peter's life. Perhaps Peter had some specific requests he was bringing to God that day. One thing I believe I can guarantee you, the last thing in the world Peter expected was a vision up on that roof and a voice from heaven. So let's just sit on the rooftop for a little while watching as Peter prays, probably facing toward Jerusalem. And there, do you see them? Off in the distance, those three guys walking along the road toward us. Those are the guys sent by Cornelius. They'll be asking townspeople if they know of a man named Simon who's a tanner and lives by the sea. Pretty soon, they'll arrive down there on the street at the gate to Simon's house. And then, oh my, something quite remarkable will happen. In fact, it will be life-changing for Peter, probably for Simon the tanner, for those three messengers from Cornelius, and for Cornelius and everyone in his household. For today, let's pause right here in anticipation of that great God-designed rendezvous which will happen tomorrow. As we watch from our rooftop perch, I have a question. When you pray, do you often consider that God is very busy at work all around the world doing amazing things, and he's always looking to involve those people whose hearts and minds are ready to be invited by God into what he is doing? That's what 2 Chronicles 16:9 tells us. So, as God watches and listens to you pray, how often is God thinking he'd like to invite you into something spectacular that he is about to do, just like Peter that day? So I'm inviting you right now to spend some time praying with an open and available heart, ready for God to invite you. Are you ready to join God in something spectacular that he's doing? When you consider that in your prayer you are speaking with the Almighty God, the creator and sustainer of our entire universe, what does that do in your spirit? And when you consider that he might want to involve you in something God is doing, what does that stir up in you? So here's a song to help you consider that.